Patton Oswalt is here. I've known Patton for years. We met in San Francisco. You know him from Comedy Central, HBO, some VH1 shows. He was on The King of Queens. He has CDs out. He's got a website, The Comedians of Comedy Tour. From the appearance of things, he seems to be having quite a career, because I heard you do some script doctoring as well.
I do some script doctoring now,
like, what have you doctored that we might know about, Mr. Oswalt?
A lot of the Farrelly Brothers stuff, a lot of animated stuff.
You do a lot of animated doctoring?
Oh, you know what's really... Yeah, I do that, and animated doctoring is really weird because they bring you in to do a movie that's pretty much completed. They've done the movie.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. And so what they say is, we can't reshoot scenes because that would cost us $10 million. It's all computer animated. So we need off-screen voices to be yelling funny stuff.
Oh, really?
To make the non-event funny.
So you got to write, like, hey, there's Pooh Man!
Right, which I didn't know you could do that. Like, I don't know, you could take, like, Auschwitz footage and have a guy off camera going, I haven't seen this many ribs since I went to Dr. Hoggly Woggly's.
Oh, like, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
sure.
So ridiculous.
Hey, what animated film is that? I think I missed that one.
Oh, yeah, that's really funny Auschwitz one they have coming out.
Yeah, the really funny Auschwitz
It's called One in the Oven.
Oh, no! Oh, my God. So when you do script doctoring, that's good. I'm
there
glad.
Goes my Spielberg movie.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I think it might be time for him to make that movie.
No.
Look, Patton, when you do a script doctoring job on a regular film and you say there are problems and it's not just a matter of jokes, is it narrative twist? Do they, you know, do you change the fabric of the film ever?
Yeah, sometimes you have to go in and go, all these scenes in the middle, you can lose them and the movie will actually make more sense.
Uh-huh.
Because what you're doing now is you're re-explaining a movie that everyone got in the first scene.
Yeah.
Especially now, these movies are so high concept, it's a very, very easy concept. Like, to quote a friend of mine, it's a donut who's in love with a hot dog. Like, that's literally what it is. And they will restate that very easy premise 8 times during the movie.
Would you like
as
to
if
tell
the audience
us,
will not get it.
Right. Would you like to tell us that friend's name?
That friend's name? Oh, he's a great writer named Dan Harmon.
Okay, I just wanted to know if
awesome
I knew him.
Awesome writer.
Now, well, because I watched The Da Vinci Code, and that thing was filled with garbage.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
They, you know, these points where it was like they could have gotten rid of half of that movie. They could have done that. I couldn't stand it. And that's not unusual. It's a bad movie.
Yeah, well, I read the book on a plane flight from LAX to D.C.
Oh, my God. You're one of those guys who can just read whole books because...
No,
you know,
that's not true. I usually can't, but that book, there's nothing to it. It's like when you read The Da Vinci Code, it's like reading a guy describing reading The Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
Like, then this guy goes here, and this happens, and she says this, and it's just people standing around explaining stuff.
And you and I mean, you saw more than me. You're a comic book guy, and we were kind of into the whole conspiracy mode years back, and, you know, we used to fester about that stuff.
Oh, man.
And all that stuff was hacked anyways. The whole book's a hack job.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You and I didn't know that you and I had an international bestseller based on our conversations at Muddy Waters in San Francisco. We literally had it. We had the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, we were there. We were working it out years ago.
And even as we're saying, we're like, this is so dumb. Who would ever read this?
Yeah, well, I was probably going, nuh-uh, dude, it was true. It's clearly true. And you're like, come on, man, this is not possible. You had more discipline in education.
I couldn't even see that movie. I couldn't even imagine that it got made.
I know. It was horrendous.
Good Lord.
So I went to my high school graduation. Have you ever done that?
My
high school reunion, I mean. Have
your
you
reunion?
Done that?
I did.
And now, my experience of it, what did you go to, your 10th or 15th?
10th.
You went to your 10th.
Yeah.
Didn't you find a lot of satisfaction? I found it to be completely worthwhile.
Yeah, well, I found a lot of satisfaction, and I was really satisfied in all of a lot of the cliches that got kind of busted.
Did they? Like, which ones?
Okay, the homecoming queen, our homecoming queen,
still
looks exactly the way that she looked in high school. She's not aged, and she's a neurosurgeon now.
Oh, my God.
She's a neurosurgeon in North Carolina. But,
and
again, she's really nice and friendly to everyone. And these two other girls that were on the court that were not elected homecoming queen were really super overweight. Like, they'd aged so badly. And what was so cool was they still acted the way that they did in high school to me.
Mm.
So, like, I was coming up and trying to... I didn't want to be mean to anyone, so I was like, hey, Donna, hi. Like, I was being very, like, friendly. And they'd be like, oh, hey, Patton, yeah, how you doing? Yeah. Like, just get away from me. I'm like, yeah. Honestly, I'm not bothering you guys. You have no idea how polite I'm being right now. You know what I mean?
Isn't that weird how those roles kind of lock into shape?
Oh, my God, they never got out of it.
Well, I never got out of it either because I'm looking at the corner table full of jocks, one of whom, like, ballooned up to it. Like, there was some satisfaction in the fact that the guys were completely huge and ugly.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to talk to them, and I had that feeling like they were sort of half goading me to do stand-up, and I'm like, I'm not putting myself up in front of those guys.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not, for that kind of ridicule, like it still existed, and I talk about that on stage sometimes, that there's part of me that still, when I see a kid in a letter jacket on the street, there's part of me that goes, oh, no, be cool, man.
Yeah.
And I have not been able to get rid of that.
Because I think Kurt Vonnegut said high school is the Central American experience, and nobody really graduates from high school. Nobody really graduates. They're like, I graduated from high school. Well, you got a piece of paper, but trust me, you haven't graduated from high school.
I was kind of happy to see that. I was really happy to see a lot of the girls, actually, because as I said earlier in the show, a lot of them aged better. A lot of them had gotten wiser. Some of them had been through divorces. They had kids.
Yeah.
And it was sort of interesting talking to these girls that, when I was younger, were so unattainable and was so nervous to talk to them. And all of a sudden, you're talking to them as grown people. And it's like, well, I've been dying to have this conversation with you for 25 years.
And there was a couple girls that were like, why didn't you ever ask me out? But I'm like, because what? you were in this other realm that I needed 8 keys and a sword to get into. What are you talking about? And they're like, if you would just, like, it really makes you think, you know what, you should just be kind of ignorant and oblivious and ballsy and just ask for stuff. Because you never know, you might just get it. Hey, give me that.
Yeah, but you know what? I did that a couple times, and sometimes in high school. Yeah, but you know, it's easy to say that in retrospect.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact is like they might have been saying that to you just to ruin whatever thoughts you had. Like, it's better off that they remain unattainable as as for you to walk out of the reunion going, I can't believe that.
You know what?
I could have just asked.
Because then they can go, oh, good, I'm haunting someone.
Exactly.
Exactly. My life has meaning. I'm haunting someone now.
I've ruined his memory. Like, now he's got to be disappointed and have regrets.
Yeah, you're right.
They've planted they've sown regrets into your mental garden is what they've done.
Oh, okay. And they've changed your memories.
Yeah.
Your memories are now totally tainted and
different. Yeah, like you missed the boat somehow.
Right.
Not that they were just asses to you.
And you got to go back, hey, she was actually kind of cool.
And
she wasn't. Yeah.
Man. I did that once. My friends talked me into asking a cheerleader to homecoming. Like, I even had a shot. But four guys had created enough momentum that I did it. And there was no way. Literally, I think I started crying, you know, in the middle of asking it. Like, literally, I was like, you know, Karen, do you, this is stupid. Why am I even doing this? You know? And there was no, like, and you know when he asks things like knowing that the answer is going to be no, it's like, you don't want it. You know, I'm not even going to bother. All right, why not? Do you want to go to homecoming? Did you go to, homecoming. Did you go to your homecoming?
Yeah, I did.
Both of them, junior and senior?
I went to junior and senior homecoming. And you know what? Senior homecoming, I was so pissed off because the theme, you know, they always pick the song to be the theme for the homecoming. Our homecoming theme was Bruce Springsteen's Glory Days, and I kept trying to go,
really?
That is a song about graduating high school and your life becoming a ruinous shambles because you don't do anything with yourself. And their argument was, it's the boss. The boss, dude. Like, that's as far as gun. I lost the argument. I'm like, why don't we just have the Talking Heads' Road to Nowhere if you're going to go that bleak? Just do the Black Angels' Death Song by Velvet Underground if you're going to go that awful.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Kate, did this happen to you at your reunion? Because this was a cliche that really came to life.
Uh-huh.
The crazy, drunken party girl that is now a complete, clean, born-again Christian, like the girl that slept with everyone, that was always hammered.
Except me.
That was she didn't sleep with me either, but this was a girl that senior year was dating the drummer from Poison. We're living in Northern Virginia. She didn't graduate. She got her GED later. Yeah. He bought her a Porsche that she then wrapped around a tree in a drunken haze and messed her face up. And when I saw her, she looks fine now, but she's with her husband, who's a minister, and they do ministry and missionary work in Russia.
Wow.
She's totally cleaned up.
A couple of those girls, I think, are sober now, but I didn't have enough time to really get into the evangelical nature.
But that's a big cliche, and that very much happened.
Like the cliche that they turn their life around, they become the exact opposite kind of deal?
Yeah, but they do it in that really aggressive way, like they've got to aggressively fight their past, because their past is so horrible for them.
I found what was really good is a couple of the cheerleaders, the ones I knew, actually turned out to be pretty decent women, and that surprised me. One of them was horrendous.
Really?
Yeah, but what are you going to do? And then the one guy, you know, the guy that you never really noticed in high school, but you knew he was there.
Yeah.
That, you know, the kind of like, hey, how you doing? You know, that guy that wasn't quite retarded, but was half retarded and was just sort of around.
Right.
You know, a lot. You could not remember him. He was there, and he had changed very little. You know, it was one of those things where
really?
You're sitting there talking to a couple of people, and all of a sudden this presence just kind of looms over here, and it's like, ah. And you're like, oh, my God, you haven't changed at all. And you want to be nice to him now just to pay the price for being the dick that you were to him in high school, because, you know, that trickles down. People like you and I are bullied by jocks, and you kind of trickle it down to – were you a bully at all?
There was what it is there's the outcasts like me, and then there's the people that I don't think anyone's ever done a movie or written a book about, is it's the outcast to the outcast.
Exactly.
I almost think that they're created in some other dimension and just dropped into high schools.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you have someone to abuse.
Yeah, or at least to realize, like, oh, at least I'm not as bad as that guy.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. There are a couple of those guys. So are you doing anything?
I'm working on right now I'm working on the new CD, and I want to record it in November. And so what I'm doing is, because I love going to the Comedy Death Ray at the UCB Theater and the Largo and places like that, but there's this website called aspecialthing.com that I love, but it's all these, like, young Lester Bang, you know, like, budding Lester Bang.
You can't do a set anywhere.
Well, you can do a set, but it's going to be dissected, and usually what's really bad is it's usually dissected pretty well. These people are deep fans of comedy. They're not being mean. They know when you have an off night or when you have an on night, and just so, for someone like me who has such a fragile ego, what I'm doing is I'm going to all these little kind of no-name places that these guys don't go to yet, so I can just – all I'm doing is working on new material.
Why don't you tell us what those are?
I'd rather not.
Yeah, well, you ought
to
tell –
I'm going to be very quiet.
You ought to tell Andrew Donnelly not to tease who's going to be the special guest next week so much if you want to try and avoid that attention. I know what you mean.
Well, the other thing is in Andrew's case, I had taken that gig a while ago. We're doing the Comedians of Comedy at the Troubadour on August 15th, and they've asked me, don't do any advertised shows until the 15th. So the few shows that I'm doing that I'd said yes to, I'm like, can you just drop, like, hints that I'm doing them and not, you know?
Yeah.
And also, I've been doing a lot of movies lately, which is very frustrating because...
Must be horrible.
Well, look, I'm very lucky to be doing them, but they're usually little indie movies.
Yeah.
And so they're very... It's really exciting material, but you're usually... The schedule's always up in the air, and I have to end up canceling shows. Like, I couldn't do Doug Benson's Interruption on
Friday.
It was so frustrating just sitting there not being able to go in.
Did you go to that? I ended up not going to the party at all.
By the time I got off work, it was so late, and I'm got, like, makeup on, and I've been eating bad craft service food, and I knew I looked like even more of a troll than I normally do, so I was like, I don't want to be seen.
I want to go back to where you said you had a fragile ego, because that's interesting.
Oh, man.
Really? You?
Oh, good Lord, dude.
How come I always thought that you were really confident? You mean this is all a big sham?
Totally. What are you talking about?
I thought you were, like, well-grounded, and you had at least one good parent that instilled some discipline in your life.
I had the really stable dad that I can't quite live up to. The really zen Vietnam vet guy.
Apparently they told you to do your homework and you excelled and you were, you know, right?
I didn't excel that much.
No?
I did okay in high school. I did barely okay. In college I was actually pretty awful, I think.
Really? You're shattering my myth of Patton.
Oh, and no. Now you know what sucked about college? Maybe this happened to you too, but...
Well, hold the thought. And because it might have happened to me.
All right.
I don't think... Yeah, you know, I love you, man. We'll be back in a second with some jokes, a little more Patton, and we're not going to tell you where he's playing.
Yeah.
It's top secret because he's going to do another 4-hour CD. It's a one-night box set by Patton Oswalt.
Manitoba Mad Cow Mania. Mark Maron.
That's right. We're here with Patton Oswalt, who's going to be doing his new CD around town. I'm middling for Louie in Irvine in a few weeks, so I can work out my Comedy Central thing.
Is a ridiculously great show, by the way. Anyone listening, Mark Maron and Louis C.K. in Irvine.
It's going to be good.
Oh, my God.
It's a sweet club, too, isn't it?
It's interesting. You're going to get some nice extreme reactions from some of the audience members, which will be great.
So what are you talking about college? About college? You said something like, well, me and you probably then we...
Well, my first 2 years of college, I think I did okay. Like I was like B-. And then after I started doing stand-up between freshman and sophomore year, I realized that's all I wanted to do. So junior and senior year of college were really bad for me because it felt like that dream you have where you're back in high school, but you've already graduated and you want to get out. And I just wanted to leave college so badly, and I had no interest anymore.
That's weird. I did 5 years undergrad because I had no desire to ever leave, to the point where I took the last year I broke into. I had about one semester's work to do, so I took it over a year, and I spent a really, really... put a lot of work on to becoming a tremendous alcoholic and really starting to explore what I was, and causing a lot of trouble. Thank God my parents were willing to keep me out of the house that long to support my alcoholism.
That's great.
But I was able to, on that plan, graduate with honors, whatever that means. But I don't know how it was possible. I guess taking one class a semester helps.
I had to petition the Committee on Degrees to let me graduate because I was so indifferent. All I did was take English courses because I was majoring in English. And there's that thing where if only a certain number of courses in your major count towards your graduation.
Right, right.
So I was like 9 credits short. And I had to petition them. It was a huge mess.
But this one will fit. This one could be a math class.
It got so bad.
Yeah.
Here's when it got really bad was when I was talking to my guidance counselor and he goes, you really should have read the manual. And he was right. I hadn't read the manual. But he goes, you spend another year at college. You can hang out. It's fun. A lot of people take another year at college. And I said, look, I kind of have a career going and I want to get started on. He goes, he was interested. What are you doing? And I said, I'm a comedian. And then he said, I doubt this college wants to be known for producing comedians.
So move along.
It's so nasty. God.
Patton Oswalt, PattonOswalt.com. Thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to do the jokes now.